Welcome to the Two Daft Yanks podcast, the show that brings you tidbits from all aspects of the soccer world. Sometimes serious, sometimes zany, always opinionated. Now, here are your hosts, Chad Smith and Corey Chatelain.
We are the Two Daft Yanks, and this is the Two Daft Yanks podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, coming to you from the Mile High Two Daft Yanks studios. And joining me from the shadows of Stone Mountain Studio is Mr. Corey Chatelain.
Oompa, oompa. Man, I like that oompa music on the intro for, I'm assuming that's for Oktoberfest or what?
It is Oktoberfest, and that did start this Saturday over in Germany.
Yeah, drink up.
Yeah, but this is actually for the day before.
Oh, what's the day before?
The day before is when it all kicked off with the Liverpool win at Stamford Bridge. So this is not Oktoberfest. I am declaring this month and the month after, Corey, Kloptoberfest!
Yeah! Or Prost!
Prost, yes. It's Kloptoberfest! Because the dream for Chelsea is over. Their invincible, unbeaten season, the match, the Arsenal, has been pounded down by the great Klopp. So therefore, as I said again, it is Kloptoberfest!
Yeah, they didn't cover that in my CBS exam.
Well, maybe they should have.
What I'm saying, I think I might have to add that.
So, all right. So, Friday Night Football was back. And, of course, Liverpool got the 2-1 win over Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. And they were fairly dominant at times. Corey?
Yeah, first half, certainly. And even after Chelsea's goal, there was, you know, they had a few minutes of joy, but, you know, Liverpool pretty much put the kibosh at the end. So, yeah, I mean, overall, they obviously deserve the 3 points, and, you know, Chelsea were well beaten for most of the match.
And, of course, I guess the highlight had to have been the Jordan Henderson screamer.
Yeah! Lobbing over Thibaut Courtois from like 70 yards, not really, but more like 30. But yeah, it was a pretty sweet shot. The veritable cracker, thunderbolt, whatever you want to call it.
That it was, and he was the man of the match, of course.
Oh, yeah,
All the statistics. And who scored gave him a 8.3?
Yeah, goal of the season nominee already and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. So there we go. So, Liverpool, and Klopp wasn't celebrating too much. He was somewhat behaving himself.
Yeah, which, you know, still a lot more than traditional English managers, but, you know, I mean, it's, you know, that's obviously his shtick, although, you know, maybe shtick's the wrong word because, you know, shtick's usually a negative connotation.
And it's usually fake.
Yeah, shtick's definitely the wrong word. So that's his MO, I guess.
There we go.
You know,
I like that. Which,
you know, ironically for a German having that much motion, you know, I guess it's a dawn of a new era and all that stuff.
Ooh, that is a very good point. Yes, you know, usually these Germans are these emotionalist, robotic-like people with no feelings.
Well, the old stereotype is anyway, yeah.
Yeah, no concerns. Well, you know what? If you see Klinsmann in the way he manages and deals with people, it's totally true.
Yeah, it's kind of like my old favorite German joke about the engineer and the light bulb. How many?
Go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. How many German engineers does it take to change a light bulb? None, if it is engineered properly. And that's pretty much, you know, that's about as excited as they used to get.
The Germans are very efficient.
That they are.
Except for Klinsmann.
Yeah, well, he's another one. He's wild and crazy California Klinsmann, so maybe Kloptoberfest got to, you know, rubbing off on him, you know, or vice versa.
Yeah, so celebrate Kloptoberfest this September and October, but celebrate responsibly.
Yes, and certainly if it involves beating Chelsea again. So, you know, Prost to beating Chelsea.
And, while we're looking at this,
okay,
I was going to do something here.
Yeah.
I was just going to see what does Liverpool, have coming up here in the next couple of weeks, because
I imagine some football matches.
Football matches, of course, but I mean, social media was all ablaze about, oh, this team's special. I saw a lot of people say that. This is a special team.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I think people are were caught up a little too much in the moment.
Well, that's par for the course for this generation. I mean, it's, you know, that's something I'm complaining to you off air all the time. It's like everything's the greatest or the worst, and there's no in between. And we're all supposed to be, you know, these intelligent, you know, diversified beings, but everything's either, you know, the worst or the best. So, you know, we're secretly, most of us are secretly, you know, fundamentalist.
Okay, here's the next couple of fixtures for Liverpool. You're now prohibited league title favorites.
Yeah!
Of course, we got League Cup this week, Corey. And so they will be traveling to Derby County in the League Cup tomorrow, in fact, Tuesday.
Yeah.
They start tomorrow. Next up in the league, they will host Hull. Then they travel to Swansea. And then they host Man United. So there's your next three fixtures. And actually, there's only just two more. And then I forget there actually is another international break at the beginning of October, which is absolute madness. That weekend of October 8th and 9th, I do believe. And I forgot about that one. Why is that there? Do we know?
World Cup qualifying, right?
I guess, but I mean, the U.S. isn't playing, right? We don't play again until November, unless we're having some friendlies. Oh, actually, I think we might. I'd have to look at that. You might look that up. Do some on-air research.
Oh, man, okay.
See but if the U.S. is playing.
Well, I was just going to say that it's pretty impressive that Liverpool's the prohibitive league favorite as they sit in sixth at the moment.
Meanwhile,
Manchester City hasn't dropped a point and has looked extremely impressive.
Hey.
But hey, that's the way the world works, right?
Hey, we're not celebrating Pep Fest.
Yeah, right? What? You don't like sangria?
It's Kloptoberfest, so get with the times.
What? They got craft beer in Spain now?
They do? They do?
Yeah, I've drank several of them.
Oh, have you? I've had their, you know. I've had the flagship beer from the biggest brewery in Barcelona and the biggest brewery in Madrid, but whatever. You're any luck there on a U.S.
Hold on, I'm about to do a Google search. Why is there more stupid internationals in October?
That's a good. I like that. Why is there?
Probably. Why are there more stupid internationals in October?
Actually, I do have this. Round one. I don't know if this is. I have us playing Cuba on my app, but I don't know if it's a men's game or a women's game. It doesn't say. It just says USA versus Cuba on the 7th of October.
Well, the data that popped up isn't useful other than it's amusing. The first hit was US adults are dumber than the average human.
Okay. Well, here this is US. So the US is playing two games, a friendly against Cuba and then a friendly against New Zealand. So that will be enthralling, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, I remember that because somebody was complaining about why we're playing New Zealand or something.
We are playing the Oceanic Champions.
Well, there you go.
That's why they're champions, right? Did we win our Gold Cup? No, we didn't.
I don't know.
We're not even champions of our own confederation.
So they're friendly. Let's just go with their friendliest because
they are friendlies, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Good, because I'm already.
It's an odd time, right? To have these mean. I mean, why do we need a friendly in October?
So FIFA and the federations can make money.
Okay, and you sound like a robot.
All right, I'm coming to take your job then.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, hopefully this will clear up. Otherwise, it's going to be a complete disaster. But hey, we're used to stuff like that.
Either that or start playing some Africa Bambaataa in the background.
We could do that. Yeah.
Rock, planet, rock.
Yeah, keep going. Actually sounds good.
rock, planet, rock. Yeah, see, everybody's like, man, I thought you liked metal. But, man, I grew up, you know, in the back of the day, I used to like me some Africa Bambaataa at the parades.
All right, let's see if we could reconnect. I'll send you the link here, and you can come back in, and I'll talk amongst the people.
All right, I've been booted.
And we'll see if we can figure this out.
Going to the sin bin.
Because we have standards around here, yeah. Something like that.
All right, I'm shut. All right,
Corey's been sin binned, and I'm going to talk here as Corey comes back. So right now you are listening to the One Daft Yank podcast. And we're going to move from Kloptoberfest to Manchester United. Well, it looks like Corey's back here pretty quick. Are you back, sir?
Yeah. How do I sound?
You don't sound like a robot anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe if it was a robot, maybe it was one of those tracheotomy things. You know, the thing that makes it sound like this. Yeah. They're coming right for us.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's the most famous line ever spoken by a cartoon character with a tracheotomy.
Yeah. Which is a long and yeah. They're headed right for us.
Jeez. All right, Corey's back, so that was great.
Yeah.
And so I was telling the people our next subject, Corey, is Manchester United.
Yeah, Schadenfreude's back.
Yeah, and they kept giving us the gift that keeps on giving. Now, we thought that it might go away, but it is back. Man U's lost 3 on the trot. Of course, the derby that we talked about last week at great length. Then they dropped an Europa League game to PSV of the Dutch League, I do believe. And then they got worked over by Watford. And this is the first time since 2002 that a Jose Mourinho side has lost 3 matches in a row.
I was still living on Fontainebleau Avenue in New Orleans at the time. LSU had yet to win their second national title. So, yeah, I mean, that's going way back.
14 years.
Yeah, and technically then some, I think. Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, sorry. We're still in 2016.
Yeah. So there you go. So Mourinho, and of course, to talk about his man management, this is where you have the big problem because he's complaining that his players don't have any confidence, but then he keeps ripping them in the media. So, really, you can't complain about your players not having confidence when you keep calling them out by name in your interviews saying that they suck, basically. Kind of a problem.
Yeah, and technically this was started when he banished Schweinsteiger to the reserves and a couple of players, you know, kind of off the record said that, you know, that was kind of undeserved. Or you know, at least you don't have to play him, but the treatment of banishing to the reserves was undeserved. So I think this has kind of been brewing even before the season. So I don't know. This is the new thing with Mourinho is that as soon as things go bad, it seems like they tend to go south pretty quickly with the morale.
Jeez, can you imagine if it happens already?
Year three, straight to year three and year one, man, it's going to be awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's awesome for us.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people thought that was the whole Schweinsteiger thing is still a little bit odd. No, granted, he's up there in age, but to banish him like that and then not even able to get him, you know, loaned out or anything. And it's possible that he wouldn't agree to a move. I don't know, but it's just it is an odd situation. But I want to point out after this Watford things, I mean, they had some individual errors that cost him some goals, and he bemoaned that in his post-game press conference. Basically, he said 3 things. They lost the game because 1, individual errors, 2, the referees. And so I hope there should be a fine coming because he did say, we lost because of the referees, a direct quote. And then 3, luck. He said luck was not on their side. Now, for the first one, he did say, I don't know if this is him maybe kind of realizing what he said, but based off what I've heard since then, I'm thinking no. But he did say, but we as a team, and I think he said, including I, have to come out and fix this. So, I don't know. Maybe, who knows? He's a mad genius, but we'll see how genius he is because if you keep slagging off your players and you keep dropping games, oh boy.
Well, yeah, because along with your first time since I was on Fontainebleau, he lost 3 games in a row stat. I also saw something that, and again, I didn't check the veracity because, you know, I want it to be true, so He's now lost 14 of his last 32 games he's managed, I think, in all competitions.
Holy moly.
Which is, yeah, which for him is pretty, I was going to say incredible, but I'll go with pretty shitty, actually.
Yeah, it is. Well, that is interesting. That's an interesting stat, I guess, if you think about the way he went out at Chelsea. Mm-hmm. I'd believe it 100%. So, yeah, he's got a lot to work on there. And then, of course, I've listening to some British radio, I'm starting to get the rumblings of the Manchester United faithful. They're not happy with his style of play. Oh, boy, who could have predicted that?
Well, no shit. I mean, what do they expect? I just do none of these people actually watch any of these matches? They just look at results? I mean, like I said, this is the same shit they went over when Chelsea hired him.
Yeah. And it's something that I pointed out the day that he got, I go, he doesn't fit the ethos of this club. And that's why I didn't think it would be a good long-term fix or a long-term match. Now, right now, you know, they got off to a great start. Everybody was saying, oh, they're going to, you know, they're up there for the league title. They've slipped up now.
Invincibles.
So we'll see.
Everybody's invincibles.
We'll see what happens. But for people to be exactly complaining about his style of play, I go, do you not know what you were getting into when you hired him? Come on, people. You're smarter than that, or maybe they're not.
Well, it sounds like something we talked about a while back, probably almost 2 years ago now, that sometimes results give the illusion of attacking play. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So when you win 4-0, oh, it was a great attacking display. Well, not really, or not, you know, not necessarily. So
yeah, because you know you scored 2 on the counter, got a garbage time penalty, and then you know got a free kick.
Yeah, and you shit canned in the other goal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not surprised on either end because I do believe a lot of people, you know, they look, but they don't actually see.
There we go. So, all right, that's gone out. The Manchester United schadenfreude. I have a feeling it will be back again very soon.
Yeah. Leicester this week.
Yes, that's what I was going to mention too. So that's a pretty interesting match. Leicester versus Manchester United is the early match on Saturday. And with that, now – oh, no, Corey's got something to say. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and I was just going to say that this will be the rekindling of a well, I guess it's technically not a rivalry because, you know, Ranieri doesn't really give a shit in the sense – or, you know, in the same sense that Mourinho does, but – you know, there's that well-documented comment when Mourinho was in Italy about how he, you know, basically didn't kind of look down on Ranieri. So now that Ranieri's won the title and, you know, Man U comes in, lost 3 on the trot against the current champions, let's see if Mourinho actually shows Ranieri or how – if he shows some or how much respect he'll actually show Ranieri this time.
Yes, good point. All right. Gone time.
Yeah, gone it out.
All right, so far, so good. No robot return.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, if that robot stayed in any longer, I was going to have to break out some breakdancing, too. Maybe bust out the worm like the old tailgate, you know?
All right, let's go to a feel-good story because, you know, we do a lot of criticizing of people here, all in good nature. But there's a nice story out of Sweden, Corey.
Oh.
Of course, now I got to go backwards. But so we all know that at these European matches, and even here in the U.S. now, we took that tradition, is they call them mascots over there, the kids who come out into the field with the players.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they're, you know, usually like little, not like little, little kids.
Yeah, usually 6 to 9-ish.
Yeah, like that. And that reminds me of the time where who was it? It was one of these incredibly short players. Had a mascot who was taller than him a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was probably Santa Cazorla.
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah, because Santi can't be. I mean, they say, you know, I'm 5'6" and a half. Santi's maybe 5'5".
But this comes from Sweden, and it is Swedish club AIK is how you pronounce it. Spots mascots for the pensioners, and that's AIK, and they call them AIK, which I had to look up because I'm like, I just call them AIK, but apparently that's wrong.
Well, yeah, because we're English. Or
yeah, did you know
speak,
that?
Speak English. That actually, I did not. I'm assuming it's the club in Stockholm.
I'm not sure if they are. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I would say if it's the big AIK, I'm not going to try and say the way you said it. If it's the big AIK, that's in Stockholm.
It is, yeah. It's AIKO. Yeah, and that's an abbreviation for their full name, which is way crazy, Swedish.
Actually, what is it? It's AIKO?
AIKO is how you pronounce it.
Okay, well, so then I will try to pronounce it because I could use the AIKO Ande.
Okay.
Yeah. The Mardi Gras Indian song.
Oh, there you go, yeah. So what they did as a tribute to some of their longest season ticket holders and members was they swapped out the mascots with pensioners.
All right.
And it's great, these photos you get to see, and I'm trying to break down the numbers here. They had 12 elderly supporters and season ticket members, all between the ages of 81 and 96 came out. Listen to this. The oldest one was a guy named Ake, I'm guessing, A-K-E, 96 years old. He says he's been a season ticket holder at the club since 1936.
Nice.
Can you believe that? That's 80 years. So that means he's been going to games since he was 16.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. It's Scandinavian people. The octogenarians over there probably run like 10 miles a day.
Well, they might, yeah. I mean, some of these guys they're hobbled.
They're a very fit folk over there in Scandinavia, yeah, generally.
Some of them look pretty good. A couple of them had to be kind of helped out, but, hey, I'll have to be like that when I'm in my 60s, not in my 80s like these guys are.
Yeah, and that was all just a ruse so I could use the word octogenarian.
There we go, yeah. So it's a heartwarming story that they would honor some of these, you know, the older generation at their club and give them, and their chief executive said, it was a wonderful to see the pure happiness and an excitement of the eyes of our senior club players as they entered the pitch. It was a perfect finale. They won the game 1-0, by the way, on a late goal.
Ake did, or the pensioners?
Yeah, Ake.
Okay.
Or AIKO.
That would cap off a perfect day.
Yeah. The pensioner came out there as an emergency sub.
Yeah, he took a penalty.
And he bagged one home and then broke his hip.
Yeah, Panenka and then broke his hip.
So I thought that was a cool story. And we'll link that on the website if you want to see it, some of the pictures. And they took a picture of us. There's a nice picture, you know. They're all lined up before the match.
Yeah, what in their Ake's colors are black and yellow, correct?
Yeah, AIKO.
Oh, AIKO, them too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both black and yellow.
Black and yellow. Anyway. Alrighty, so there's that. Alright, so we'll go from a feel-good story, Corey, to a not-so-feel-good story.
Oh, what are we already talked about Mourinho.
Yeah, no, and that is the man who can't get out of his own way, and that would be one Joseph Barton.
Yeah, that guy.
He's at it again. Always
shocking.
In trouble.
Why always Joey?
Everywhere he goes, controversy. And the thing, as we talked about in the past, you know, we used to talk about him quite a bit when he was playing in the Premier League. Is that everybody who talks about this guy off the pitch, who knows him as a person, says he's one of the greatest guys out there. B, he's got that thug reputation, but actually, when he actually tries to play actual football, he's not a bad player. He's got a pretty fair amount of skill, but he chooses, for whatever reason, to act like a jerk and try to break people's legs. And so, I guess, after the 5-1 loss that Rangers took to Celtic, he had a bust up, Corey.
Freaka, melee.
Row.
Row, that too.
And a row with his teammates that were the manager. Mark Warburton even tried to step in and stop him. And he went, you know, all freaky and crazy on him too. And now he's been suspended for 3 weeks. Been told to stay away. And he had some pretty harsh things to say. Basically,
So he can't even go to the club for 3 weeks?
I think he's been banned from training and the club, everything, yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Let me get the exact thing, but that's what I thought I heard, that he can't even show up.
Bobby Valentine mustache disguise reference again. Try it, Joey.
But he's been banned from training.
No, it's... Yeah. This isn't Joey Barton. This is... Joseph Wharton.
So, basically, from the reports, and I believe these to be true because I've heard this from multiple sources, is that after the match at training the next day, when they lost 5-1, he basically called the team out saying, you guys are a bunch of shit players and a shit league, and I used to play in the Premier League, and I shouldn't have to be putting up with stuff like this, and we should be winning games. And you can imagine how some teammates might not have accepted that as the truth.
Yeah.
Especially the manager, who then tried to stop the argument in the fight.
Well, yeah, because that's one of those, if that's what you think, why'd you sign the contract in the first place? Oh, that's right, because you're like everybody else nowadays. You like money.
Yeah.
And then when it didn't pan out to your expectations, then you trash everybody.
It is interesting. Now, here's the kicker. So then he...
Well, yeah, here's the kicker. It's Barton, right?
Yeah. Now, here's the kicker. Yeah. Kicker.
Okay, got it.
Double entendre. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So he apologized, said, hey, I went over the line. I should have said that. But in true typical Joey Barton style, he... took all the goodwill away after saying, hey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. He tweeted and then deleted soon after this. Here's the exact quote. He says, apologizing doesn't always mean that you're wrong and the other person is right. It means you value your relationship more than your ego. Oh boy, Joy.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. He should have just gone with his normal behavior of being a prick, is meaning you never have to apologize or something.
Yeah, the classic apology, non-apology.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, I'd rather you still act like a prick than give me the non-apology apology.
Yeah.
You know, because at least when you're a prick, at least that's sincere behavior, you know?
Yeah, and then in pre-production, you made a very good point of him saying, hey, I used to play in the Premier League. Well, what happened, Corey, the last time he was in the Premier League?
His ass got relegated.
Yeah. Now, was it his fault completely? No, but it still happened. So that's,
well, he's on the team.
Yeah, he was on the team.
You know?
Mr. Superstar.
Yeah, it counts. He went to take that big payday at QPR.
He did. And he got paid handsomely for it as well.
Yes, handsome relegation. In fact, that should be his garage band name when he quits. When he quits footies. Excuse me, handsome relegation. Go and play Nebworth or Reading or whatever, you know, one of those English festivals.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then he can get a row with one of the Gallagher brothers.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Bust up at the Nebworth.
Oh, alrighty.
So yeah, there we go. I don't miss Joey Barton.
He's just very misunderstood.
Right. Yeah, well, Gong is misunderstood ass out.
Oh, sure. You want the Gong?
Yeah, Gong Joey Barton. Gong.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. We'll wrap up the show here, but first I want to give you some props. We were talking about this new TV money you said that you thought a lot of clubs would use the incoming TV money not for transfers, but to keep their own players.
Although they did end up transferring more than I thought they would.
Oh, they did. Yeah, we broke a record, right? First time the transfer market went over $1 billion.
1 billion.
But I mean, I don't follow everybody, but I can tell you Spurs in the past 6 months have gone on a crazy, pretty much extending everybody's contract on improved deals to try to help keep this core of this team together. And so Dele was a guy who signed today. I know Eric Dyer didn't sign too long ago. Erickson re-signed. Kane's going to re-sign another deal. Vertonghen's on that list. I mean, I could go on and on. I had the list. I forgot it somewhere. But anyway, Spurs are using this money to keep this young core together because they traditionally haven't spent as much as they have in the transfer window. They did bring in Sissoko. But other than that, they were at a pretty much a, you know, a net zero spent with the outings that they had. So Corey, good job. You saw that. I don't know. I'm sure other people or other clubs are re-signing their players. It's just if you're not paying attention to that club, it's not anything that makes news unless it's a big player. So if you have that, hit us up at 2DaftYanks on Twitter and let us know if other clubs have followed suit and maybe signing guys to extensions on improved terms.
Yeah, so the only other one I know offhand is the couple of or the handful of re-signings that Leicester did. But sometimes those are, you know, to drive up the transfer price too.
Yes, exactly. But no, you're right. Leicester did do a fair amount of re-upping with people to keep their title-winning squad somewhat together, and they did. The only person they lost that they wanted to keep was Conte.
Yeah, and yeah. So I don't have anything to add.
All right, so that's all there. Okay, let's go to 2DaftYanks.com. Let's go to that fixtures tab where you can get your EPL fixtures, boys and girls, without all the pop-up ads. And remember, we do have League Cup action midweek starting tomorrow. Game's Wednesday. There might be even some Thursday. I don't know. I doubt it, though. But let's look to this weekend. We already talked about Man U will be hosting Leicester. We got Swansea City versus Manchester City.
And then Man U-Leicester is the early game. Point that out for the kids.
Yep, it is. Stoke versus West Brom, Sunderland Palace, Bournemouth Everton, Liverpool Hull, Middlesbrough Tottenham, and then the late game on Saturday, I guess, is the premier game of the weekend, and that would be Arsenal versus Chelsea.
Oh, we might actually be on TV instead of me getting the laptop out 2 weeks in a row.
You will be. And then there's a game on Sunday, West Ham, Southampton, and then there's a game on Monday, Burnley Watford.
Oh, can Burnley stop the Watford juggernaut now?
Maybe. They did beat Liverpool, your league title holders elect.
Oh, but I did want to say earlier when we were talking about Watford, as much as I made fun of Troy Deeney a while back, I had to give him props because I was rooting for him on Saturday. Because I wanted him and Fellaini to get in basically a heavyweight brawl on the pitch, and he almost got he almost got under Pogba's skin, and Pogba ended up getting booked. But yeah, Deeney was subtly going after both of them, and it was very enjoyable to watch.
Gotcha. So all right, well, thank you, boys and girls, for listening to the 2DaftYanks podcast. For Corey and the robot that channeled through Corey. I am Chad Smith, and we'll see you guys next time.
The special one, robot.
This has been the 2 Daft Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at 2daftyanks.com or at 2daftyanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the 2 Daft Yanks action by subscribing to the show.